We're going to talk to you about a subject that I doubt very seriously that I'll change very many people's minds. Those whose minds are made up will believe what they want to believe. But anyhow, we have had several people ask for it to be taught. And so we'll endeavor to address the subject of tithing this morning. Hallelujah. Don't draw up in your shell. I promise not to try to scare you to death. We have never made probably a absolute message on tithing in the 14 years that we've been here. When we dealt with the subject of what is holiness, we did discuss it or address it in passing. But perhaps this morning we'll address it in depth. Amen. How many of y'all believe in tithing?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. All right. I figured that, and that's the reason that these 14 years we have never taken the subject as an absolute subject to address it, because we felt like that there was really not the need for it. Most everybody believed in tithing. Even those that didn't pay tithe believed in it and believed it was right to tithe, whether they did or not. And so here we are this morning, and you take it for what it's worth. If you don't like it, go ahead and file 13. And if you believe it, then do it. Amen. If you haven't been giving of your tithe unto the Lord, after this morning, I trust that you will. If you don't, after we get through here this morning, you don't want to, praise God. Go on.
Amen.
That's between you and God. You'll have to face that on between you and God on the eternal day.
Amen.
Amen. All right. To start with, we're going to need bunches and bunches of scripture readers. Those of you who are eager to read, and don't flood me down with the hands this morning, but we do need a bunch of them. All right, Brother Bobby, I may not call for these in order as we give them, but Brother Bobby, if you'll take Genesis 14, verses 18 through 24. Who else? All right, let's see. Sister Saphel, Genesis 28, verses 20, 21, and 22. Slim, Will? Slim? The boss said you will. Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 through 34. Who else? All right. Numbers chapter 18, verses 20 through 32, since you like to read. Okay. Thank you, Jack. Jack, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 29. Thank you, Brother Hughes. Since you didn't raise your hand, we'll draft you. Deuteronomy 12, verse 19. All right. Johnny B., is that you raise your hand? Second Chronicles, chapter 31. Verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. Who else? All right. Sister Dale. Nehemiah chapter 10. Verses 30 through 39. Who else? Let's see here. Red? First Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 15. Got all kind of volunteers. Look at here this morning. Brother Jerry, we'll give this one to Jerry. Jerry Bragg. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10. Let's see here. Got some others. Perhaps we'll just read them ourselves. All right. We do want to say this morning that I believe that tithing is as scriptural as being baptized in water. Amen. As much as salvation is. First of all, tithing does not belong to you. It is not yours. It is not yours even before you give it. The Bible said the tithe is the Lord's. Amen. And it is holy. So it is not something that we want to feel like that it is ours in the sense that it belongs to us. It belongs to God. We'll come to all those thoughts whenever we get into this subject matter this morning. And I want to say that along with most of you that are here tonight, at least you older folks, I say older folks, I don't guess I'm old, am I? 50 is not old, is it? Not when it's compared to Sister Foster. But I remember hard times. Some of you younger people don't. I remember hard times. I remember when we slept on sheets, and we was discussing that this morning coming to church with Sister Lucy. We slept on sheets that were not actually sheets, that was made out of feed sacks sewed together. And most of you older folks will remember those times. Pillowcases were made out of feed sacks. Ladies wore dresses that was made out of feed sacks. Hadn't been for feed sacks, we'd have been in terrible shape in those days. I well remember that. I remember drinking out of the dipper. Of course, it takes a lot of feed sacks for some folks. It takes more feed sacks for some than does others. Had to be a big feed sack. But, help me, Lord, get over his foolishness. I'm meddling now. And I remember when we had the old water bucket set on the back porch and had the community dipper. And that's probably some of y'all here, that's not been that many years ago. And it hadn't been so many years ago that me and my family took our baths out of a plain old tub. Hello? Amen. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all do. Hello? And so I'm well acquainted with hard times. I understand hard times. Also understand that we're living perhaps in different times today than what we lived then. Amen. If a large percentage of this society had to go back to living overnight with the times that some of us come up with, they would go hysterical. They wouldn't be able to cope because we are used to conveniences. Even the Now, I'll say this right here. Even those of us who are the least fortunate in life now and have the less of material substance and goods in comparison to the times when we came up, you would be considered almost a millionaire. Hello. Didn't get many amens this morning. I didn't figure I would. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter. It does not matter whether we have much or whether we have little or whether we have nothing, tithing is a requirement, amen, for every Christian. Amen. And somebody said, would you take somebody's last dollar if it were their tithe? Yes. For that is the plan and the means by which God said He would bless them. Amen. And He does, He has, and He will. Praise God. If Elijah had have refused to have taken that cake from the little widow woman, that was her last cake, if he would not have accepted that, are y'all listening to me? She and her son would have died and perished. But because that the plan of God is, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, heaped up, and running over, shall men give back into your bosom. Because of that principle of giving, and it shall be given. Praise God. The little widow woman survived the hard times and the crisis, the famine, her and her son, because she gave unto God first. The Bible speaks of tithe as the first fruits. Amen. The first fruits. We want to deal with the principle of tithe first here this morning. The first fruits. Not after we paid all of our bills and we give to this situation and that situation and bought groceries and paid the car payments and and all the incidental expenses of life, and then if we have anything left, we'll give that to the Lord. That is not God's program whatsoever. When He talked about the first fruits of your increase, He meant right off of the top. Amen? And that means He did not say the first fruits of your labor. He said the first fruits of your increase. Amen? Help me here. First fruits of your increase, regardless of how it come to you, whether somebody gave it to you, whether it's an inheritance, whether you labored for it and it is remuneration for your labor expended. Amen. No matter how it come, the first fruits of your increase belongeth unto the Lord. We'll talk about that perhaps later. Amen. I understand that we're living, sometimes we have people that we feel like cannot afford to give. But refusing to accept their tithe is cheating them out of the blessings of God. I remember Brother Roy years ago told me of an incident when he first got saved. He approached a man in the church and wanted to give his tithe. And the man told him no, for him to keep it, that he needed it worse than anybody else. Amen. Help me here. And Brother Roy said he felt in his heart that wasn't right. Amen. But anyhow, through the process of time and years, things have changed. I want to tell you, tithing is not ours. Tithing belongs to God. Amen. And if there is anything that is a truth, the minister and the preacher ought to pay tithe as well as anybody else in the congregation. The tithe is the Lord's. And perhaps we'll address that also. Let's look for a few minutes first. First of all, I want to read a few verses of Scripture And I want to read that first, and we'll come back to it before we get through later. But let's read it first, a verse of Scripture that every one of us, when every time that tithing is mentioned, we immediately think of this verse of Scripture in Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to look at that first, and then later after we look at some other verses, we'll come back to it. Amen. In chapter 3 of Malachi, beginning with verse 8, why don't we start with verse 7? That's actually where it begins. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Now God's addressing that question. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer, God says, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Thank God there is an absolute correlation between giving of your tithe and the return of blessings and the favor of God in return for that. Not because, now listen to me, before we go any further, you don't give your tithe to get. If that is your purpose in giving of your tithe, amen, to get, you are missing the purpose in giving to God. Amen. And you will probably, in all probability, miss the blessing in return. We don't give to get. Amen. We give because we love God and desire to be obedient to His Word and appreciate what He has done for us, amen, by bringing us a wonderful gospel of salvation. Amen. Amen. And he said he would pour out a blessing, that there's not room enough to receive it. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. All right. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. And these same words, if you wanted to search it out a little further, are mentioned in the other Gospels. But it's just a repetition of what is recorded here in Matthew. So we'll read Matthew and not take the time to go through Luke and the other writers on the same wording. Matthew 23 and 23. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Now, since Christ in these two verses sanctioned tithing, amen, then certainly it is a New Testament teaching. Amen. It is indeed a New Testament teaching. His teachings were not to confirm the law for a few days and then to totally abolish it. they were to take the place of the law, which was until John. Amen. And since John, the kingdom of heaven is preached. So the Bible said in Matthew 11:11. Now, if we do away with this doctrine that is sanctioned by Christ just because it was a part of the law, but we'll find out in just a few minutes that it was more than just a part of the law, because tithing was instituted 430 years before the law of Moses. Amen. So it is more than just a part of the law. But if we do away with this doctrine of tithing that Jesus sanctioned because it was a part of the law, then we, on the same basis, can do away with more of his teachings that were a part of the old contract or the old law, such as thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. Hello. Now, if we can destroy one part that Jesus sanctioned, we can destroy any of the other parts that he sanctioned. The only parts of the law we have a right to reject as a part of the New Testament teaching are those that are not found in the New Testament and are not made a part of the New Testament teaching. Tithing is a part of New Testament teaching. Amen. Are you listening? Now, let me say something. I probably won't get very many amens here. If you'll take this the way that it is said, you will say amen. But the Bible has much to say about the minister and the ministry. Amen. The word minister is used in two terms. It is used as a noun, and it is also used as a verb. And depending upon the usage of the word ministry, depends upon the meaning of the word ministry. Amen. Now, let's look, first of all, in the English language, upon minister and ministry as a noun. And I was driving down the road the other day, and this, I feel like the Lord gave it to me, and I had my wife to write it down as it came to me, and I wanted to substantiate that what I felt was right. So I came home and looked in Webster's Collegiate Dictionary to be sure that my impressions were not just impressions, but rather inspiration. So you can go home and look it up in your own dictionary if you prefer to. Ministry, M-I-N-I-S-T-R-Y, as a noun, is a derivative of the root word minister. Amen. Ministry, as a noun, is the action or the activity of the minister. There is no ministry in the sense of scriptural activity without the minister. Amen. You listen to me here. There is no ministry in the sense of scriptural activity without a minister. Somebody said, well, let me think about that. Okay. We'll give you time to think about it, but we'll show you. Minister. Now, minister as a verb, not as a noun, but as a verb, could mean that you have been blessed, encouraged, or helped in some way by anybody. Not just a minister. When the word minister is used as a verb, it denotes that you have been ministered to, such as in the time of need, somebody brought some groceries by your house or some food, and you could say in a right term that they ministered unto me or unto my needs. Y'all listen to me. That is in a term as a verb. Or if you are sick and very sick, bedfast, somebody came by, said a few words to you of encouragement and lifted you up and your spirits were enlightened. They have ministered to you. But that in that text is a verb action. Amen. So you could be ministered to as a verb by most anybody. Not even necessarily a Christian. Amen. Not even necessarily a Christian that has come by and helped and ministered to your needs when it is used as a verb. Amen. Now, so simply saying, but that does not necessarily mean that because you have been ministered to by someone that it was done by a minister. For as a verb or action word, amen, minister is rather an activity, but not as a person in the case of when minister is used as a noun in the English language. Yeah. The New Testament speaks to us in Paul's writings. It talks to us about apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. You listening? These are nouns. They're not verbs. These are nouns. And are used to describe the ministry of the minister. Amen. I'm going slow this morning because I want you to absorb what we are saying here. And they describe the ministry of the minister who is God called. Whether you are an apostle, amen, and somebody said they're not anymore. Well, amen, I would differ with you. I still believe God has apostles. Whether it is prophets, somebody said there are no more, I differ with you. I still think God has prophets. Whether they are pastors, whether they are evangelists and teachers, amen, they are called into that ministry. They are not elected into the ministry by vote of anybody. Any body of people or any body, period. They are God called into their God-given ministries. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in addressing the young ministers, said to them, "Let every man wait upon his ministry." So the ministry as a noun, amen, is the activity, amen, or the, how I want to say here, these five ministries, let's look at it like this. These five ministries of apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, amen, are not the minister, but rather the activity of the minister. When the Bible speaks of the ministry as a noun, it refers directly to the activity of the minister. Amen. In the Old Testament, the minister, as a noun, had the oversight of the tabernacle. If there were no ministers in the tabernacle of the tribe of Levi, then the tabernacle ceased to have a ministry because there was no minister. You cannot have a ministry as a noun without the person who is the minister. When the Levites, amen, now you can find this for yourself, we're going to read about that in a while. But when the Levites were forced into the fields to labor for survival, as in the book of Nehemiah chapter 13, matter of fact, the entire book of Nehemiah deals with it. But when the Levites were forced into the fields to labor with their hands for survival, as in Nehemiah, and you can find it in chapter 13, we're going to read about it, the tabernacle was still in existence, The temple was still there. The building was still present. The four walls were still there. The roof was still on the building. The showbread table, the altar was still in place. And all the fixtures and the furniture were still there. But there was no ministry to Israel because of the absence of the minister in the tabernacle or the temple. Amen. All right? So, remember that. Book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Someone said, I knew you'd wind up there. Well, good. I haven't disappointed you. Hebrews chapter 7, first 11 verses, or 12. We're going to talk about Melchizedek and Abraham. All of us know who Abraham was. We don't have to go into a dialogue of who Abraham was. The Bible called him the father of the faithful. Melchizedek was the priest, not only the priest, but the high priest. And he was king of Salem. And Abraham recognized his position and office. Amen. And for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. As soon as we get through this passage, we're going to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 14. We look at it again in the book of Genesis. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham, the father of the faithful, called the friend of God. Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Now, you look at that real good. Amen. You remember that. Mark that verse in your Bible. Because we'll refer to Levi and the Levites and the priesthood many times. And there is a difference between the priest and the high priest. There are many which we could call the sons of Levi, but there is only one high priest, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not your high priest. Hello. I am not your high priest. Christ is our high priest, the eternal mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes. That is the literal priesthood of the Levites. They all die. Eventually, they get old and they pass away and they receive tithes. But there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as many, and as I may say, Levi also receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection whereby the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law. What further need was there for another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Amen. All right. Amen. 430 years before the law of Moses was given by God on Mount Sinai. Amen. Abraham paid and gave tithe unto the Lord in giving unto Melchizedek. Now I want to say something right here before I forget it. When you give your tithe, you should and ought to give it as unto the Lord. For it is not yours. It is the Lord's. And if you do not give it, your tithe as unto the Lord, you will reap no benefit from the blessings that God has designed, because, amen, we give it as unto Him. Amen. In Genesis chapter 14 this morning, we have in the Bible the first place that tithing is ever mentioned. There is, in the study of the Scripture, whether it's in theology or whatever, in the study of the Scripture, what is called the law of first mention. And wherever in Scripture you find a subject addressed for the first time, you find it in its purest form, in its entire purpose and meaning. Amen. And we have in the book of Genesis chapter 14, 430 years before the law of Moses given by God to Moses on Mount Sinai was given. The law, amen, of Moses given on Mount Sinai came many, many years later and was even then to be observed by the children of Israel. Amen. And all the people. But here is the first mention of tithing. And we want to address that this morning in this 14th chapter, beginning with verse 18, if you'll read.
Thank you.
purpose of Scripture and go to chapter 28. I want us to look at the character of Abraham for just a minute. In verse 23 and 24, Abraham said, I will not take a thread of a shoe latchet from anybody and take of anything that is not mine. He was offered it. He could have took it. Amen. He could have took it, but he refused it. His character was indeed above reproach. Amen. He had already paid his tithes to Melchizedek, and he could have taken, but he had another thought in mind. If he received, because he knew the character of the king of Sodom, that king of Sodom would leave Abraham, or Abram, and go back to Sodom and say, I made Abraham rich, because I gave him so much. Abraham said, I'll not have that. Amen. Amen. I will only take that that is mine, and that the men have eaten. Amen. And the rest of it is yours. It is not mine. I will not take that does not belong to me. Amen. That's quite a character. I want to tell you, sometimes preachers are guilty. Don't fall out with me here now. Preachers are guilty of thinking that people owe them something because they are a preacher. That mentality is warped. Amen. Amen. And there is much fault to be laid upon the preacher who feels like that, amen, because they are a preacher. Amen. That people owe them something. Now I want to tell you, if people do not give voluntarily of their own will, amen, you do not owe nothing. I have had people through the years give me things, but I've yet to ask for it. I've had some work done for me on my cars, at the home, in various places. And without exception, I have always offered to pay. Amen. You're not going to come hear me come around and say, well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, I'm a preacher. Why don't you give me this? That is wrong character. That is taking advantage of your office and position. And that's exactly what Abraham was addressing. Hello. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 and 21 and 22. Amen. So, Jacob paid tithe about 400 years before the law. Abraham paid tithe 430 years before the law. Amen. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 through 34. Thank you. All right. Now, let's look at this verse. Now, it's a little itchy, maybe, in this verse. In all the years, 34 or 35 years of preaching, I have never had anybody to fulfill this verse of Scripture except one person in 30-some years of preaching. And they asked about it, and I told them what the Bible said, and they obeyed it and did it. Help me here. Y'all listen to me. But in this verse, verse 30, he said, all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Yours. Before it's ever harvested, it is not yours. It is the Lord's. Amen. There are three things in this chapter. If we took time to read the rest of the chapter, there are three things that belongs to God eternally, forever. And one is the firstborn of man and beast. In verse 26, we don't have time to go into that because that's perhaps a different subject. In verse 28 and 29, all things, all devoted things. And in verse 30 and 30 through 33 is all tithes of the people. Amen. All right. Now, somebody said, well, what about the concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock? Even of whatsoever passeth, verse 32, passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. You must remember and you must understand that in those days they did not have a public job. They did not work on a public job. Amen. They had herds. They had vineyards. They had gardens. They had oxen. They had camel. And that was the means of exchange and medium of exchange in those days. They used what they had, and they lived off of the land. But God was saying here, the custom referred to here is that of counting the animals as they would go out of the pen one by one. And at the pen opening, when they would, every tenth one was counted by being marked as the Lord's with a rod dipped in red. And that tenth animal that passed under the rod as it went into the sheepfold, amen, was considered the tithe in that tenth one belonging to the God. Now, we'll read a little in the same setting that if that tenth one was bad or poor or whether it was extremely fat or unhealthy, was totally immaterial. It belonged to God. It was the Lord's. And he said, don't try to exchange it. That tenth one, he said, God knows what he's doing. That tenth one is the Lord's. Whether it's little or whether it's big. Whether it's poor, whether it's fat. Whether it's the black sheep or whether it's a white sheep. Whether it has lots of wool or very little wool, that tenth one belongs to the Lord. Now he said, if you endeavor to exchange that, or he used the term redeem it, if you want to redeem it, or if you want to, amen, take that, if it's a fatly one, amen, and you want to exchange it and give the tenth one unto the Lord as a puny one, he said, if that's your motive, then both of them belong to God. Amen. Hello? Amen. Getting a little different here now. Different turn of the wheel. He said, now, if you borrow your tithe and you don't give it, amen, at the required time and the designated time, if you keep that tithe for your own usage, amen, he said, when you do pay it, you add a 20% surcharge on it. pretty high. That's what the book said. Amen. Amen. That's getting a little close. And like I said a while ago, I've only had one person in 34 or 5 years of preaching. I've only had one person in all those years that actually did that. Amen. And I didn't request them to do it. They did it on their own. Amen. But I can tell you what, there is a blessing that comes from God because of our obedience to His promised word. Amen. And when you give of your tithe unto the Lord, you are not giving it away. It was not yours to begin with. It was God's. Amen. Amen. And when you give of your tithe unto the Lord, you incur a blessing in return. I cannot explain it in mathematics because you sit down with a pencil and paper and it does not carry weight. It will not work in mathematics. Amen. That you can do more with less. Amen. Amen. It doesn't pan out. You made $100 a week. Amen. And you give 10 of that as tithing to the Lord. Amen. I don't understand how God stretches and multiplies the 90 that you have left. Amen. And you can do more with that than you can if you kept the whole 100. Amen. I cannot explain that in mathematical terms. It doesn't make sense. Amen. But it's God's way. And He said, if you withhold Malachi chapter 3, He said, if you withhold of your tithe, He said, you are cursed with a curse. Amen. Amen. That's simply saying that you can do more with less. Then if you had more, you'll do less. Don't make sense, but it works. Because that's the way that God designed to bless His people materially. Amen, Brother Savage. Numbers chapter 18, verse 20 through 32. Now, just a minute. Let's look at this for a minute. Amen. You remember when the children of Israel went into Egypt, or came out of Egypt, brother, excuse me, came out of Egypt, wandered in 40 years in the wilderness, came up to the Jordan River. We don't have time to go through all their wilderness journeys, but came up to the Jordan River. They crossed over Jordan. They took Jericho. And before they entered into the land of promise, God gave a designation, and they divided up the land of Palestine by tribes. If you wanted to take time, you can at some other point in time, because we don't have time to do that this morning here, but you could take time, you could go back and look on an old map, an old Bible map, and you'll find out where each tribe was designated as their inheritance in the promised land. The tribe of Gad had their land lotted out as their inheritance. The tribe of Naphtali, amen, had a certain portion of the land as designated as it was theirs. And all the tribe of Naphtali, amen, went to that particular portion of the country of Palestine and they settled it. Are y'all listening to me? The tribe of, let's see, how many more tribes are there here? Reuben, amen. There are many of them, there are 12 in all. The tribe of Reuben had a certain portion of the land that was designated. And they went in there and they homesteaded. That's as close to terminology as I can get. They homesteaded that particular portion that was designated to them by God. Amen. In the land of Palestine, whenever they crossed the Jordan River. And so all the children of the tribe and the descendants of the tribe of Reuben went into the land of promise and the land of Palestine. They conquered it. They possessed it. And the tribe of Reuben went and took possession of that strip of land that was designated to them by God. Amen. Are you with me so far? So that was their portion of inheritance. Amen. As a people given to them by God. But now when it came to the tribe of Levi, Levi was one of the tribes, one of the sons. When it came to Levi, God said, "They separate them unto me, for they are mine, and I shall be their inheritance." Amen. That's what the book said here. Y'all looking at me funny. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, "Thou shalt have no inheritance in the land, as the other tribes have. Neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel." Again, God made it clear that he was to be the inheritance of the priests and Levites, and that they were to have no part in the inheritance of the land of Canaan, the things dedicated to God, those that he reserved from the offerings of Israel, and the tithes were to be for the support of the ministry. Noun. The ministry. And in this sense, God was their inheritance. Behold, verse 21, "I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." Amen. Help me here, Lord. Let me... You read in, and we take time to go over and read it if we had time, but you can write this down and go read it for yourself later. In Numbers chapter 3 and verse 12, God said explicitly, positively, that the Levites belong to God by divine call. It was not voted upon whether or not they would be a Levite, or whether or not they would be a minister in the house of God. They were divinely called just as much in the New Testament as the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers are God called to the ministry of the New Testament church. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? I want to tell you. I know that there are some people that are God called. Some just got up and went. And I got no sense to know that. Some just simply got up and went. Some was mama called. Some was daddy called. And they floundered and made shipwreck. And they entered the ministry, and to them the ministry became a profession, a way and a means of living, and that's all, of livelihood. Help me here. That is as much condemned in Scripture, amen, as the sin of witchcraft is. Amen. To substantiate that, amen, before we get back here to Numbers chapter that we're talking about here, to substantiate that, if you went back to Leviticus chapter 10, and you read about two boys whose father was Abraham. Whose father was Aaron. Their name was Nadab and Abihu. Amen. Yeah. Read about that story. Matter of fact, if you want to get the whole picture and the whole scope of it, read chapter 9 and chapter 10 of Leviticus. And it'll give you a better and clearer understanding. But Nadab and Abihu abused the office of the ministry. Amen. They thought they could do anything they wanted to do and was not answerable to nobody, not even God. They had been ordained and appointed by Moses to the office of the priesthood. Already been there. They were at the feast, amen, when Moses was visited by God and given the program, amen, whereby Israel should live by and exist. They abused that office. They felt like that they were unanswerable to anybody. And they didn't have to answer for their activity. Nadab and Abihu were slain because, amen, they tried to do the job of Aaron in the wrong attitude, the wrong spirit, and the wrong motive. Amen. Amen. Help me here.
Amen.
They were required not to drink strong wine and are y'all listening to me?
Amen.
And liquor. They were required to keep themselves circumspect. Amen. And the qualifications that goes with that. They had received the admonition from their father Aaron how that they were to conduct themselves. But they didn't like the way it was done. And they took matters into their own hands and decided to do it their way. They didn't care what God said. They didn't care what the instructions from Moses said. They didn't care what Aaron said. And they proceeded under their own desire. And the Bible said they offered strange par unto the Lord on the altar. And when they did, God came down. God came down and slew, amen, Nadab and Abihu, amen, consumed them with fire and left them dead corpse. Woo! Help me here. If you want to get something shocking and stirring and fearful, read that whole 9th and 10th chapters of Leviticus. It'd do you good to go home and read that. Amen. And God spoke to Moses and said, you tell Aaron, the father of Nadab and Abihu, you tell Aaron he better not shed one tear over the death of his sons, or else I will strike him dead. Don't meddle in the affairs of God's judgments. Bible said, and God sent out a fire and just devoured them. And afterward, now let me just give you the balance of that, and I see right now. Woo! Help me! I ain't even got halfway through. After the other two sons of Aaron came and took Nadab and Abihu, their brothers, out and buried them. Amen. God spoke to Moses and said, you tell Aaron and his sons to go now into the house of God and eat the flesh of the sacrifices that were offered unto the Lord. Now, maybe you didn't know this, but when people brought an animal unto the Levites and the priests to offer unto the Lord, and they offered it, the priesthood offered that before God and unto the Lord. Amen. It became God's. It was no longer theirs.
Amen.
Now, when they offered that, somebody asked me a question one time, said, whatever happened to all those animals that was offered in the sacrifice in the temple after they were cooked and after they were roasted with fire? Amen. The Bible said that it was the Levites' portion, and they sat down in the house of God and ate it. Take that for what it's worth. Verse 22, read on.
Even thus the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die.
All right. What he said there, and the scripture bear that out, neither must the children of Israel Henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. What is he saying? Amen. That is God's work. You don't tell God how to operate his business. That's his business. Amen. That's God's doings. When it comes to the offering of the sacrifices and the singing of the songs and the carrying on of the worship service. Help me here. In God's entire program, he said, amen, that is the responsibility of the Levites. Amen. And Aaron and his sons.
Amen.
And if you come nigh to the tabernacle to touch that, he said, you'll bear sin and you will suffer the reproach and die. All right, go on. All right. Now look at here. Here is a prime example that God is saying in this 24th verse that the preachers themselves must pay tithe of the tithe. They are responsible and obligated to pay tithe of the tithe. Now I know a lot of preachers that don't agree with that. But it's there. Amen. Help me here. It is, they are as responsible to fulfill that part of the covenant of God as the congregation are to pay and give of their tithe unto the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll see here in a minute. Amen. A little further here. But now there are four commands here. And you who have a date Bible, you could follow along in the legend in the sidelines there. Amen. There are four commandments to support for the support of the Levites. He said, you, Aaron, and all other priests and Levites shall have no inheritance in Israel and no part among them in the national settlement. The tithes of all Israel shall be given to the tribe of Levi for their services. The children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle to help the ministers in their service, lest they die. The Levites only shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall be responsible for the atoning work of Israel. They shall be responsible for the administration of the Word of God, not only for the preaching of the Word, but for the carrying on of the services of God. That is the responsibility of the ministers in the house of God. Amen. Lost some of you there.
Amen. Good.
When you take the tithe of all Israel, verse 24, then you shall set aside and offer as an heave offering one tenth or a tithe of the tithe and give it to the high priest. Now, the preachers must give of their tithe of the tithe unto the Lord. Remember, we are not high priest. There's only one high priest. There's only one high priest, and that is Christ. And he is the divine intercessor. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, I never believed it and seen it that way. Well, I'm just telling you what the book said. It's up to you then. This portion of the tithe from the whole of the Levites shall be considered as though you had dedicated your own wheat and grapes that you had raised. Amen. Let's read on here. Amen. Verse 25. Is that where you are?
Offering shall be reckoned unto you you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus you shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which you receive of the children of Israel, and you shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts you shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor and as the increase of the winepress. And you shall eat.
Now wait a minute, let's look at that before we go finish out here. We're about to finish up this verse and we're going to another place. Amen. When what he is saying in verses 25 through 30, when you have heaved, he's talking and addressing to the Levites, when you have heaved the best of your offerings to the Lord, the remaining part shall be given to the Levites, and they shall eat of it as freely as if they had produced it in their own fields. And it shall be for the service of the Levites in the tabernacle work. Read it, verse 31.
And you shall eat it in every place, ye and your household, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And you shall bear no sin by reason of it, when ye have heaved from it the best of it, neither shall you pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die.
Now, Israel was supposed to give from the best of their crops and animals and honor God with the first fruits of all their increase as a token of appreciation for His many blessings in making such things possible. Now, verse 31 and 32, concluding this 18th chapter of Numbers, he said, and they shall bear no sin by reason of it. The minister shall bear no sin by using the tithe of the people. Amen. as long, and there's a stipulation that goes with that, as long as he gives the tenth of the tithe unto the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Deuteronomy 12 and 19. Deuteronomy 14, 22 through 30, 29. And we're going to have to spend some time on this chapter, for to some people it's very confusing, but if you made any study at all of this chapter, you can search it out for yourself. You can read the commentaries, the scholars. You that have a date Bible, read it for yourself in date's margin. And there's really no need for confusion. It might shock you what you're going to find in this 14th chapter of Deuteronomy. Somebody said, well, I never read it like that. Well, let's read it this morning and see what it says in its entirety and in light of all the other scripture relating to the same subject. All right? In Deuteronomy 14, verse 22 through 29.
Thank you.
All right. We'll look at all of these verses, and I'll do my best to explain it to you as God gave it to the leaders of Israel. The tithe that is referred to in the first part of these verses that we read shall not be confused, and this sometimes is where people misunderstand, with the regular tithe that was given to the Levites. This was a second tithe, and to be used by the person who gave it, while the tithe for the Levites was to be used by the Levites only. Somebody said, only that. Well, that's you. That's your prerogative, but you go read it, see. The second tithe was for the purpose of paying expenses. At the national gatherings, tithing of what had been produced could be sold, and the money used at the feast, if the giver lived far from the place of worship or the appointed place, then it could be used for that purpose. Levites were not to be neglected. Paying the second tithe did not excuse one from paying the first tithe. Verse 27. Hello?
Amen.
At the end of every third year, or twice between sabbatical years. Now, sabbatical year is the seventh year. At the end of every third year, or twice between the sabbatical years, a third tithe, that is 30%. You think you got it bad today? The third tithe of all the increase was to be laid up in storehouses for four classes of people: the Levites, the strangers, the fatherless and orphans, and the widows. Israel here was promised, and here is where God meets the needs of His people. Israel here was promised special blessings of God upon all their crops and stocks if they would pay the three tithes of all their increase. God said, I will abundantly make up the difference, more than you could ever count in dollars and cents. Amen. So there are three tithes. 30% that is mentioned here, three different tithes that are mentioned in this scripture setting in chapter 14. The first tithe is for the Levites, verse 27. Leviticus 27. Numbers 18. And this was a yearly tithe. The second tithe was for the individual himself and his household to cover the expenses of the national feast and so forth. The third tithe was for the Levites and the strangers and the fatherless and widows. It was a special tithe for the poor, a charity tithe to relieve suffering of poor neighbors, and etc., and so forth and so on. Amen. So you have in that chapter three separate, distinct tithing systems that were all in operation at the same time for different purposes and reasons. Second Chronicles chapter 31. Verse 4. I'm going to give you a little history. Amen. And these are facts. This is not something I concocted. Until the late 40s and 50s, a preacher on salary was unheard of. Up until that era of time, at least most percentage of them, The minister was given the tithe of the people and by the people. The old circuit riding Methodist preachers that went from town to town, community to community, riding their horses, received tithe of the people that he ministered to. Most of the time it was not in money because they didn't have money. They brought home chickens, pigs, amen, and product.